today we're going to talk about engaging your whole temple. And if you receive our newsletters at any time, you would have seen an article about it if you received the email newsletter. If you don't, you're welcome to log on online and you'll be able to sign up for our email newsletter. But I sent out an article this month about engaging your whole temple, and I show you the perspective of doing that from how Jesus did it. But today we're going to go a little bit deeper into that, and we're going to talk about how do we utilize all of who we are to do all of what God wants us to do. And in order to really fulfill truly what we're here on this earth to do, we have to be able to engage all of who we are. Because God doesn't make, things that are not useful for something. Everything that God's created is useful for the Master's use. I want to be useful for his use. So every part of me is essential for God's purpose in my life. And we have to be able to understand that. We have to wrap our minds around that. Every single part of me, and the parts that I'm talking about today will be our spirit, our soul, and our body. If you were here last Saturday, we had a different teacher. We had Dr. Diane teaching. She was teaching on renewing the mind, which was incredible. If you missed it, I'm sorry. No. If you missed it, we are making some CDs available of that training, so you will be able to purchase them once they're ready. We'll send them out of our facility to get it done nice. So we'll have those available. When they are, I'll let you know so you'll see them. But I liked how she did the last, my favorite of all was the ABC. And the ABCs of how you think and everything. So now I ask people, what is your B? Because the bottom line was that she was saying is A is the fact, is what happened, you know, the cup spilled. C is how I respond to the cup spilling. And my response is based on B, how I think. What do I think about cups spilling? For some people, I would imagine, they would just wipe it up. It's okay. It's not an event in their life. But for some people, if when they were a child, that was a big event, they would think of it as a bigger deal. So that would now make their day kind of go bad because they spilled a cup of water. And when they were little, every time they spilled something, they had a severe consequence. Okay? So anyway, that's just one of the things sessions, but that was like my most favorite. And that's what psychology is doing. They just sit there and listen. How do you feel about that? Now I understood. Yeah. When she was saying that, I thought, now that's why they always go, now how do you feel about that? I went, they're just trying to find out B. For B. But there is a D and an E, which is to help you change B. So that your C changes. There you go. So see, you have to get the DVD, the CD so you can understand the whole thing. I tell you, the funny thing is I was looking at her slides ahead of time so I could prepare the notebooks everybody got. And I was in my office going, oh my gosh, this stuff is so good. I was all excited. I was trying to keep the secret from telling everybody what it was. But anyway, so we learned a lot last week about our mind and how it operates and how it's essential. And it's the when I was studying this, it really is the link between the spirit and the body. It is the thing that could stop us from doing what it is that we're supposed to do. So we're going to look at all of those facets today. However, since we've been coming to Woven for the past 2 months now here at the church, I keep forgetting to read something to you. Proverbs 31, verse 25. Let's go there. We're going to read that today. We're going to find out, you know, as a woman's group, we don't want to just be here coming, patting each other in the back and sharing soft stories. We're actually going to affect our world when we go out. So Proverbs 31:25, I'm reading it from the Amplified, and this is what it says. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and her position is strong and secure. She rejoices over the future, which is the latter day or time to come, knowing that she and her family are in readiness for it. So that is our main verse for Woven. So whenever you think of Woven, your women's group here at the church, think of Proverbs 31, verse 25. And that's who we want to be. That's what we want to be able to do. We want to have strength and dignity as our clothing. That means we're confident women, and our position is strong, so that means we don't walk around insecurity. When you have insecurity in any area, you always unconsciously, and Dr. Diane can correct me, because I think if you studied, maybe there's studies on it, but I think unconsciously, without meaning to, without thinking about it, we try to put somebody else down to be a little lower than us in the, whatever area we're insecure in, just so we could feel like we are secure. Just look at it next time, any area you have an insecurity in, and see if unconsciously you do that. If you know that, then you will think consciously not to do it. You'll make an effort to say, I know I'm insecure in this area. I want to make sure I'm not putting somebody else down to make me feel better. And you find that with a lot of extreme cases of bullying and anger and abuse, that's really what it is. It's an insecurity that needs to feel secure, so it has to put something down in its presence to make it feel secure. That's about it. The bottom line is control, just having to be able to have control. But if we are confident and secure women, then we will not need to do that. But as we get things revealed to us that we're insecure in, we will be able to deal with them. But the biggest thing I want us to know as woven women is we have the tools to utilize to be able to deal with situations. Like this ABC thing I was talking about, I think that's an incredible tool for everybody to know that whatever comes up in your life, if you're realizing the consequence, what you just produced based on a fact of what you just heard is not a positive result or it's not a good way of looking at it, you know the tools now of how you can make that not happen again, of how you can change your thinking to not let that happen again. So it's the same thing in your life. If you find areas of insecurity and you discover them by how you treat other people on certain topics, in certain areas of life, that's how I've learned to discover my insecurities. And boy, did I figure out I had lots. I'm sure I have a lot more. When you're climbing, let's think of a ladder. When you're climbing, you're trying to go up, climb a high building, okay? If you've never done it before, tell me you're going to be like, woo, this is like, I'm secure in this. I know what I'm doing. You kind of have a little bit of like unsureness about it. Well, if you've done it several times, if it becomes your everyday procedure, then you really don't have that big of a deal. That's not going to be the biggest thing that consumes your mind. But it's the same thing in life. When God promotes us, because it is God that gives us a promotion, when God promotes us, the first time we're there, we're going to be insecure a little bit. Because first of all, we're not going to think we deserve it. Second of all, we're not going to think we qualify. You see what I'm saying? So we're probably going to be insecure. So everything that we feel insecure about, that thing, will probably start to show up in the beginning part of us doing this new job. So whenever you have a new job in God, a new job period, always watch. You should be your biggest analyzer. Don't be your critique, be your analyzer. Because if you're critiquing yourself, you're just criticizing yourself all the time. Be an analyzer. That's, you take data, you put it through a process, and you make a decision on whether or not the result is what you want or what should you change to get a better result. So as God promotes you, start analyzing your behavior, analyzing your production, what you're producing, your fruit, and then you will start looking and start asking the Father, how do I make this better? How do I make this better? Sometimes we don't need to change everything that we're doing. We just need to enhance what we are doing. We just need to grow in it and get better at it. But the thing itself might be the right thing we're doing. We're just not doing it at the level yet that producing. Okay? All that from one verse. That was all three. All right. Let's go. Today's lesson, okay? Engaging your whole temple, which that goes along with it, of course. And if we look at 3 John 2, call him Little John. And I say 2 because there's only one chapter in the book of John, so it's just verse 2. And a lot of us know this verse, and we quote it for a lot of reasons, but we're going to take a look at it today from a different perspective. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers. Some verses say, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." So we see there's two things. We're talking, of course, one of the main things that the verse is talking about is prosperity. And the other thing it's talking about is your soul prospering and your health. Okay? So we're touching the soul and the body in that verse, which is 3 John 2. If we look at our spirit man, now, I'm basing this on the premise that we all understand something, so let me say it so we all are on the same level of understanding here. When we get born again, when we become a new believer in Christ, we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, we are recreated. We are a brand new man. We have become a new creation in Christ Jesus. That new part of us is our spirit man. That's what becomes new. I didn't get a different body. I didn't lose 500 pounds and, you know, all this. My spirit man got renewed, okay? My thinking really did not change because that is my part. Because as we learned last week too, we need to be continually renewing our mind, okay? So that is up to me. Now the real me is the spirit man me, okay? So the real me got changed into a brand new creation. That means the real me now never existed before. So it's a new sheriff in town. But who's the assistant to the sheriff? There's a deputy that's been sitting there forever going, "I don't think so. That's not how we do it around here." That would be your mind. Okay? Your mind's going to go, "We've never done it like that before. I don't know who you think you are." But I want you to know the sheriff in town is the spirit. It is your spirit man. If you don't get anything out of everything else I say today, I'll say my thoughts earlier. What do you call that? Deductive or inductive reasoning. When you say the bottom line, then you do the... I always mix those two up. Inductive is the... Oh, that's me. Okay. Pastor Doug, when he teaches, he's deductive. So he builds up to the thing. I'm inductive. I tell you the thing, and then I tell you how I got there. So when we were preparing for our sermons that we were doing in February, we were teaching the relationship things. It was so hilarious. I was cracking up. Because Doug would be like, "Give me all the..." I said, "Doug, what is the bottom line? What are we trying to tell the people?" He goes, "Well, I'm getting to the..." I said, "Oh, I know what it is." "You're deductive and I'm inductive." I didn't know which ones they were. I was always mixing them up. But anyway, so here's the bottom line. We have three parts to us. Okay? We have our spirit, our soul, and our body. Our spirit man should be the sheriff. Our mind's the deputy. And what's the body going to be in that analogy? The horse. There we go. Okay? Now, I want us to think, when we think about this, you're going to look at your life and see who's really the sheriff. Okay? Because our spirit man is the only part of us that can get instructions from the Holy Spirit. Because it's the only part of us that has been recreated to speak the language that understands the Holy Spirit. Don't miss this at all. This is like basic bottom line. Okay, your spirit man that has been recreated in Christ Jesus, you got to be a renewed spirit man, is the only part of you that can listen to and understand, really get messages from the Holy. That's where the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you, is in your spirit man. Okay? He's not going to speak to your flesh, and he's not going to speak to your mind, because the Bible tells us we are to renew our mind. Okay? All right, I'm trying to figure out which way I want to go here. I've done this before. Yeah. Let's go to Mark 14:38. This is the third time I'm teaching this lesson. Every time I teach it, I add more to it. So that means you'll be here for 3 hours. Mark chapter 14 and verse 38. Yep. The 3 John 2? Yeah. 3 John 2? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point. So there, that's the only verse we need for this whole... We should get it from there, right? Mark 14:38. Now, check this out, okay? Mark 14:38. Keep awake and watch and pray constantly that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but who's weak? The flesh, the body. Your verses say different things. Guess what's weak? The flesh. Okay, let's honestly stop and think about this for a minute. Normal everyday life. What do we have leading the path most of the time? The flesh. The weaker part of who we are. In order for us to have strong results, good fruit, solid fruit, juicy fruit, attractive fruit for the Father's use, because he says any tree that doesn't bear fruit, he's going to cut it down, burn it up. Actually, he instructs Christians not even to hang around, you know, trees that don't bear fruit. So we need to bear fruit for the Master. Fruit, in this essence, would be our purpose. Product of what we're supposed to do. If we let our body lead us, then we are letting the weaker part of who we are dictate what happens in our life. Now, I don't think any of us here would purposely stand in front of our bosses at our jobs and start ridiculing and just flat out. Actually, companies have things for that, like insubordination. You get written up for insubordination, right? You stand in front of your boss and say, I'm sorry, I am not doing that. Your boss is going to be, excuse me, say, yeah. And she agrees with me. Yes, we are not going to do that today. So let's put it in your spirit, soul, and body. Okay? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotion. The spirit man says, the Holy Spirit is saying, your body says, I'm sorry, but didn't you know that today is when I go and have this done? And by the way, I have a company. Soul, what do you think? Yes, that's how we've always done it. I don't know what the spirit man's thinking today. Think about yourself. Think about it. You see what I'm saying? That's what we do to our spirit man more than we ever would want to admit. And what we are doing is, against our own body, we are being insubordinate. In other words, we're being rebellious to our own self. We're actually rebelling against ourselves. And a house divided against itself will definitely fall, and it cannot. So do you see maybe why we don't have as much success in life like we would like to? You know what I'm saying? We could watch a lot of people. We could watch a lot of successful Christian people that have really been very successful. And I use the word success on purpose. They have shown fruit. To us, they're successful because we could see fruit, okay, of what they're doing and how it's accomplishing things for God on this earth. And we are all saying, some people, especially if it's somebody that's doing what you know that's your call to do too, that's who we're more critical of. Somebody's already where we would like to be. And, well, I could do that. I could do that better than they could do it. How come they're able to do that? How come they're able to have the audience they don't have? Yeah. Maybe you want to look at yourself and see how much we've been rebelling against God's instructions of who we are to be. So your spirit man will hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. So today I was driving here praying, and the thought came to me that if I'm not willing to give my time, day submit my time to the Holy Spirit? I was thinking in terms of how sometimes we limit God with our time. You know, we only have so much time for church, you know, because we'll have to leave and do. And the Holy Spirit said to me, do you realize that I was there when time was there? I was hovering over the waters. I was there with God when he created time. And he said, so tell me, if we didn't give you that, how much of that would you have to give to what it is you think you have to do? I thought, now there's a good thought. Then that, you know, we have a limited time that we've allotted to God and learning about him and doing what he wants us to do, because we have to run off to give time to something else. But the question is, who gave the time to begin with? Who gave me the breath to move from one activity to another? Who really gave me that? Do you see how we could get out of order with God and with ourselves, with who he wants us to be? So, we have to stop and think about, let's go to Ephesians 4:16, about what it is we're doing and why we're doing what we're doing. Ephesians 4:16. Let's go to Romans 12 first. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I'm reading from the Amplified again. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service and spiritual worship. Now, think about this for a minute. Us just submitting our whole body, just giving it to God, that's just a reasonable sacrifice. That's just like basic. That's basic. And it's also part of our spiritual worship. Some of us aren't even doing basic worship or basic sacrifice. I am teaching this because God arrested me about this about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Yeah. I went, oh. And there's lots of things that God would put in my spirit, you know, to do. Lots of things. I mean, if somebody talked to me, they'd be like, oh, my gosh, there she goes again. Like 50 million things. And I was praying one day. I said, Lord, you know, really, this is very frustrating, because all these things you want me to do, and I'm a great delegator. Sure, I can delegate. Well, send more people for me to delegate to, or help me do this stuff. And that's when he said to me, you know what, Fiona? I am not a tease. Neither am I a God that frustrates. I don't know where you're getting that from. I went, oh, yeah, that's a good thought. He said, everything I put in your spirit man to do, I have given you the ability. I said, oh, yeah? So then he started showing me, he said, I want you to separate every part of you, your spirit, your soul, and your body. And I want you to look at it and tell me what you do with them. So I started separating them out. I said, well, you know, I think my spirit man's pretty keeping up, because you're giving me a lot of stuff, and that's my problem. I can't do all the things you're telling me to do. He goes, okay, check. That's fine. So you don't have a problem there with feeding yourself. Yes, as a matter of fact, you do a big job of that. A lot. Soul, you know, your mind, your will, and emotion. I examined that, and I thought, well, Lord, you know, really, I don't hold anything against anybody. I've had that thing since I was a child. I'd always say, I don't have room for anybody else in my mind but me and God, because I want to be creative, and I want to be able to think new things. So I don't want to hoard things about people in there. That's just taking up space. So I'd always let things go. That's how I looked at it as a kid, before I knew anything about renewing mind and all that bitterness and all that stuff. I just do that. So, okay, well, check. You're just doing great. Then we got to the body. Yes. And I went, oh, well, now, let's talk about the body for a minute. Yes. I said, Fiona, you don't give me a full day that you could give me. Now, mind you, anybody who would look at our schedule, see what I do, see what Doug and I do, see everything we do, they would be like, how do you do everything you do? So I'm like, well, Lord, you know what we do. He said, yes, my child, but that's according to everybody else. There's still a lot more you can do, and you know it, and you don't do it. And I went, okay. He was showing me that if my spirit man's getting stuff, okay, so I don't have a block there. I read the word, and I mean, revelation, just like, pow. Okay, and my soul man, my mind, my will, and emotion, because I'm connected to the word, I'm automatically renewing my mind there. But the other part that could hold that whole process up is my hoarding things about other people, all the bad things people did to us, and what my parents didn't do that they should have done, which, honestly, I can't think of some my parents didn't do that they should have done because they didn't know what they could have done because they didn't have that information when they raised me. You see what I'm saying? Or, somebody who treated me bad yesterday, or I'm driving down the road and somebody just did not have the dignity to put the turn signal on. Oh, okay. It's gone. So, but my body was a big issue. And the Lord started showing me how he created my body to function, me, Fiona, not everybody else. But because I kind, in a way, and this is what I was doing, in a way, because we were doing so much, I mean, and we do a lot, and we do, you know, and everybody knows that we do and all, so you feel like, okay, I'm doing a lot, so, yeah. Lord says, you are fast at this, you're fast at that, so it takes you half the time to do half the stuff you do. And so therefore, all the other things I'm asking you to do, you're well able to do it, but you don't do it. Because you don't think you have the time to do it. But he showed me what really my problem was. I didn't have the energy to do it or the stamina. And all of it had to do with how I was feeling my body. Well, wouldn't that be a wake-up call? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let me tell you how productive I've been in the past 2 weeks. Extremely productive. Because a block was removed. Is what it was. If we're not careful, we start setting standards up that the spirit man never set. But people's feedback does. None of it was bad feedback. It wasn't like criticism or anything. Nothing stopped me criticizingly. It was actually compliments. See what I'm saying? So if you're really good at something, like you're incredible, you know, you're an incredible singer. And we heard Sue sing, I was standing there going, oh my God, that voice is coming out of that body, you know? Let me show an example. In this audience, Sue is like the best. I mean, like nobody is better than Sue here. But when Sue gets around professional, world class, the best of their best environment, she's going to have to kick it up a couple notches. That feedback to her would be more important for her skill than what we could ever tell her. Do you see the difference? Because her potential is in that direction. Her gifting needs to be of that quality, and she knows she could be that good. But she also knows what she needs to do differently to be that good. But if she hung around just us giving her feedback about how great of a singer she is, she could just sit back and chill out and be like, yeah, you know, I'm pretty good. I don't, you know, I'm good, man. This is great. We didn't give her any bad feedback. So sometimes, if you notice, I didn't do a confession sheet for us to confess the word. I want you to make your own confession of what part of you needs to be worked out. Maybe you're physical. Here's the other thing. The Lord showed me. He said some people are physically fit. They are like, stamina is there. They eat the right things. They are physically fit. Yet they're still not accomplishing what they need to accomplish because their soul part, the mind, the will, and the emotion is where the hang-up is. Some people, you have both. When it's the soul part,
it shows up in the flesh. Here's the bottom line. Whichever part of us is in rebellion, the part that we will see it in every time, always, on everybody, like a picture frame. Our body. Now, hear what I'm saying. If you're overweight and you're not your size 2, that you can see. Lord God, I don't think I'd ever see that number in my body. I don't want you to. It's not the point. That wasn't the whole thing what he was trying to tell me. He was telling me the point is stamina. Can my physical body keep up with the instructions of my spirit? Am I conking out halfway through the day? Do I stay up late watching TV and I can't wake up in the morning at a decent time? Do I lay in bed because I'm depressed, because things aren't going like I think it should? Or am I pushing my body beyond what it's telling me to do because my spirit man has given an instruction? Okay? We have to retrain. So this is where the thinking comes in. You're B. The letter B. Don't know what I'm talking about. We've got to examine our thinking process. Now, here's the thing. The funny thing is, even though my soul man, my mind, my will, and emotion, okay, I consider to be clear and clean, you know, honest before God, I could present it as a sacrifice. It's not defiled. It doesn't have a lame leg and a limp this and all that. I wasn't thinking as far as I should think on who my real standard was. And honestly, God, your real standard is lodged in your spirit. The real standard of who you are supposed to be is locked in your spirit. Out. In. Okay. I'm glad you brought that point up because I want to show something to you that I drew last night or the night before. And do you know the feeling you get when you go to bed and you're ready to sleep and you could ask the Lord, Lord, have I done what you wanted me to do today? Do I have permission to fall asleep now? Or is there something I left undone that you wanted me to do? Do you know how awesome that is? Oh my God. I was like, oh, I was telling Doug, I think this week, I was like, you know how good it is? I was driving home from church, you know, how good it is to be able to go to bed and say to the Father, Lord, have I done what you wanted me to do today? Not what my boss asked me to do. Did I put in 8 hours at work? Not did my kids expect the laundry to be done and the dinner to be on the table? Not did get from me what he wanted me to do today. Did he really get that accomplished? Or was I too busy with his time that he gave me, by the way, he made time for me, to even pay attention to what he's saying? I'm not even talking about did I get to read my Bible today, did I get to pray. Did I engage with the Father, with my spirit man, what the Holy Spirit's instructions were to me? Because sometimes we confuse the two. We think that if we read the Bible and we pray, we've done our part of like hearing from the Father. Done. That's basic. That's just keeping up your spirit. That's just basic. That's water. That's drinking water and eating bread. Okay? But the real deal is, what do we produce with that food? I knew she was going to. She has an appointment. But that's the real question. Can we really go to bed at night? Tell me we can't sleep when we do that. Because the Father knows we're doing what he wants us to do. He wants us rested. He wants us to be rejuvenated. Everything will start lining up. See what I'm saying? Everything will start lining up. Okay. So what Shirley was saying, I'm going to draw a pictorial so you can see it, and this is my artistic rendition of what we look like. Yes. We're all the same shape. Okay. All right. This is the spirit, the soul, the body. And this, my friends, is another voice. Okay? Now, the question I have for you is this. Does my thinking affect things this way? Or do I get affected that way? Okay? If you're listening on the CD, the arrows are pointing. Does my soul affect another voice, or does another voice affect my soul? Another voice would be any voice apart from the Holy Spirit that speaks to us, any voice apart from God, okay? This is how things are supposed to operate on a normal basis. My spirit man should be feeding into my soul. My soul should be telling my body, giving my body instructions, which are ultimately coming from the Spirit. My spirit man is getting instructions from the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit knows the mind of Christ. Right? We all know that from the Bible. The Holy Spirit knows the mind of Christ. Okay? And we have the mind of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's my artistic rendition of what we look like. We all look the same. Okay. Now, if we go to Genesis. Let's go to Genesis. And let's go to verse 8. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. Genesis 3, 8. And I'll show you what the Lord pointed out. Consider your whole you like the Garden of Eden. Consider your spirit, your soul, and your body like a creation of God when he created the Garden of Eden and he put man in it. Okay? Consider that as a thought in your mind there. So Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So, in today's term, we could say they got depressed. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. They got depressed. Okay? All right. Verse 9, and the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? He called to the first person that he put on there, Adam. Okay? The first thing he created, he called to him. Okay, where are you? He said, I heard the sound of you walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Fear is always something that drives depression. He hid himself because he was afraid. Okay? Fear drives you into depression. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, okay, now here's verse 11 is what I want to look at. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Until that time, the only person that spoke to Adam and Eve was who? Was God. Okay? They spoke to each other, that's it. But the only other voice that they ever heard was the voice of God. So until that time, the only thing that occurred in their life was this way. Spirit, soul, and body. And the only person speaking into the spirit was God at that time. So you understand his first question was, who told you? What other voice have you been listening to? Okay? If somebody is dealing with depression, fear, anxiety, don't know what they're supposed to do in life, the question to ask is, who told you? Whatever it is they're exhibiting. It's another voice. So let's talk about these other voices, because they don't show up like who they are.
The devil didn't show up as the ugly, naked person that he was or that he is. He showed up in the most beautiful of the animals. The serpent, chapter 3, verse 1, that the serpent was more subtle and crafty than every living creature of the field. Okay, he showed up in the best, most persuasive of creatures. That was the other voice. That's how another voice came in. Don't buy the sales pitch of another voice. You have to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit to speak to your spirit man. Because another voice did not get to their spirit. It talked to her at the level. Look at this. Let's look at this for a minute. Chapter 3, verse 2, or verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any living creature of the field which the Lord God had made. And he, Satan, said to the woman, "Can it really be that God has said you shall eat from every tree of the garden?" Understand this for a minute. The questioning, he engaged reasoning. Where is that found? In the mind, right? He skipped her spirit and hooked into the soul realm right away. Her spirit man would have stopped it. How do we as women get caught up in going in the wrong direction? It's the emotional stuff. Look at this. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit from the trees of the garden, except the fruit from the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said." Here's what she's saying God said. "You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." God never told him not to touch it. He never said, "Don't touch the tree." His instruction was simple: don't eat from the tree. Okay? She is now processing this information he's giving her with her mind, her soul. She has not engaged the spirit. If this was coming through her spirit man, she would have caught that. She wouldn't have even had a conversation with this devil. Okay? But the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." Let's think about this logically. How could you die from eating something? God made it. It's got to be good. Why would he want to kill you? Wouldn't your mind go through all the logic of that? They had the sharpest mind, 100% brain activity, I'm sure, because they were going to live forever the way they were. So it wasn't like there was a deficiency in the mind, but there was a connection with this woman's emotion, her mind, her will, and emotion. She was starting to, all her senses, her body now took over to make an instruction that was not spirit-driven. It was not Holy Spirit-driven. It wasn't God Spirit-driven. You see, she listened to another voice. Listen, there weren't 50 other voices in the garden. There was just one other voice that took down with it all of mankind. Don't allow... Sometimes we do this, and we're women, we do this. We have to find security. We're big into security. That's part of what we like to have. That's why God made the garden before he made us, because there was a garden, there was a man in it, and then here we come. It's all set, honey. We good to go. But emotionally, we wrecked it. Don't fool yourself. Don't trick yourself. You don't have to be a preacher to do it. You just have to be a woman. Proven by what she did, she gave Adam to eat. Our influential power is so powerful that it is hard to not follow it.
If someone is connected to us in any way, we have the power to influence them in ways they don't even imagine possible. I'll tell you an example. In the Bible, John the Baptist, he was captured and held prisoner by the king, Herod, I think it was, King Herod, okay? The Bible says, if you read that story, King Herod liked John the Baptist. And he really didn't want to do that. He didn't want him to be prisoned. He would have left him alone. But because he spoke out against what was wrong, that the woman that he was with, his wife, was another man's wife, and what they were doing was wrong, he spoke out against. She got angry, and she influenced a king, a man over a nation, to lock him up. King Herod loved John the Baptist. And so he figured, okay, fine. At least he'll be in my care. I'll make sure he's taken care of. King Herod was drunk, having a party. What kings do. Nothing out of the ordinary of what a king would do. This woman had a daughter who danced for all the king's people there, and was so wonderful that the people loved her, and he wanted her to dance again. In order to do this feat, this wonderful, enticing thing she just did, he said, I'll give you up to half the kingdom. Which king would ever think that you're going to offer half of a kingdom to somebody and they would want the prisoner? And she went to the person that influences her. Who was that? Mama. Mama. And the mama says, forget half the kingdom, honey. I want John the Baptist's head. Who won? Tell me who won. Yeah. Be careful about people who love you that really have your good interest in mind. The thing I look for is who influenced. That's really going to tell me whether they can keep their word to me or they're going to hang me out to dry. I know they love me. I know they want to do everything they could for me. But the bottom line is, when it comes down to me and the person that influences them the most, who do you think would win? So in order to not be disappointed in life, as we women sometimes feel the world has ended if someone disappoints us, start looking at people in the way of who is their ultimate influence. Because they would love to keep their word for you. But when it comes to the people that have the strongest influence in their life, because it's not just that they're doing what they want to do, that person influences them to the point of commitment. That's what happened to King Herod. Committee, he said, what do you want out of half the kingdom? Oh, I just want that person over there. Give me his head on a platter. It was within his care, so it was part of his kingdom. So he had to do it because he gave his word. He was a king. You see? So, as a woman, you have an enormous influence over your family, over people that you are hooked in with, that have been hooked into you emotionally. That's why I'm so hard on women most of the time, more than men. They just like move on, but women, they stick around for the kill. They do. Think about it. They stick around for the kill. They want to see, because women like closure. Men are like, okay, that part's done. All right, let's move on to this. Women want to know what happened. I want to know what's going to happen to that person. Because of what they did 10 years ago, I'm still waiting. Do you see what I'm saying? Become women of God. Women of God don't have time to stick around to see what happens to the enemy. They're leaving camp, honey, with all the spoil. They're building the kingdom of God with the spoil. They're not hanging out to see what the enemy's reaction is when they show up. I mean, come on. But that's what we do without realizing it. Emotionally, we do that. We get stuck emotionally in that place. So the question is, were you delivered or were you not? Why are you still there? Why is that camp still next to your house? But anyway, all right. Did you learn something there? Do you see? Jesus, God said, who were you talking to? Who told you? I'm not going to feed you that garbage. Okay? So, all right. So we got that image up there. Yes.
I think, like, just to that example, you have, like when you get married. And when you have a strong will mother in law.
Yes. Yes.
So long,
yes.
And when you come in, you try to say,
yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but here's the funny thing. The Bible says a man should leave his mother and his father and cleave to his wife. I always wonder, why didn't God tell the wife then too? Now, why don't you leave your mama and pops? But here's the funny thing. Here's what happens in your house. People think it's out of... I don't care if it's a house where people think the man is in control. He thinks he's in control. Because here's what happens. Here's what's happening in a house. The reason why the woman doesn't have to leave her mother and father and do all that, the woman is not going to do what her mama tells her to do. She is woman, honey. She's going to influence her house how she wants to. She might take advice and do some of the same patterns because it's just what she knows. But it is her influence that takes on in that house. That's why he said leave your mama and pop the husband, because the mama of the husband still wants to influence the man. And what's happened there is all it is a battle for turf. It's an influence war. The wise woman knows how to play both ends. Thank you for that advice. I never would have thought not putting mushrooms in spaghetti would taste so different. Huh, let me try it. Oh. Well, after all, maybe she will work with me for this man that we both love so much. Before you know it, you start being the one to give. It is a wonderful tool that works miraculously. But it's a natural thing for a woman who's had influence all these years to have to cold turkey be cut off. Are you kidding me? Because she got years invested, honey, in this man, and you are who? You got to prove yourself, honey. Yes. And the first way to prove yourself as a woman with another woman is to take advice. Because women want to know that they have influence. It doesn't matter what position they have. If a woman does not think that she has influence in any gathering, in any team, in any home, in any event, she does not feel the need to be there again. Why would you bother? I mean, they don't need you. A woman feels needed when she feels like she has. Watch that about yourself. Stop and think if that's not really how... It is not a wrong thing. It's really how we were created. The key is, can we manage it properly? Where it becomes a tool for God's service, not a weapon for the enemy to use. You see the difference? But it is a gift from God to be able to influence an entire generation. Think about Rachel. Think about Rebecca, who took the son, Jacob. It was Rebecca, yes, Isaac's wife, Rebecca, who overheard a conversation with Pops. He was telling who he thinks should go kill the meat and make him stew and all this stuff. He was blind. Apparently couldn't smell either. She overheard the conversation, and what did she do, honey? She influenced an entire race. I mean, she influenced the future of Israel. Do you see what happened there? Jacob met his wife Rachel there. He had Joseph. Joseph, I mean, this goes on. Do not underestimate the power of your influence over your generation. If you are not, okay, this is going in a whole different way. Let me explain something to you. Do you understand what I was trying to say about the spirit, soul, and body? You understand? You get the concept of what you need to do? All right, that's done. Let me tell you something. Here's why the enemy comes in the family. As a person, you might not have problems with any other relationship, with any other people. Like, you're fine. Get along with everybody else, fine. But when it comes to the family, it's like pulling teeth. Why? Because that's where your bedrock of influence should be occurring. In order for that to be smooth, where it's not, the credibility is built up and everything, you have to have a good relationship with the people you're trying to influence in the positive direction. So where do you think the attack is going to be the most? Right in headquarters, hometown. You see? So as women, we need to develop, nurture, and grow the relationships of our family. Whether we like it or not, ladies, if you're married, your mother-in-law is a key part to your family being productive. As is your father-in-law and every sister-in-law there is. Brother-in-law, aunt-in-law, every in-law has now become law. They have a big impact on your family. And the key would be, see, as women, if we can't influence the situation, we don't feel like we have any kind of control, any kind of safety. Nobody's getting any more input from me about that. They're not going to hear another suggestion I have, because every time I give one, they down. As a wise woman, read Proverbs 31. She can go out in that ship. Deal with pirates. Who do you think ran them ships in those days? They weren't like pretty little boys. They threw Jonah overboard. They won't think twice about throwing the mess out. Do you understand what I'm saying? She dealt with those guys. She did business with that kind of fella. She can negotiate. She knows how to deal. She knows how to take care of her house to the point that her husband is well known in town. She's not some brawling woman going around being insulting to her family that her husband has to hide his face in the house. She does it with such authority and dignity that her husband is sitting at the city gates. You know who sat at the city gates? The people who made decisions for the town. Those are the people who sat at the city gates. They made decisions on who got what land, who was let in the gate, when they're going to close the gate, who's going to be the watchman on the tower, all that. Talking governing authority. And her children rise up. She don't got to tell them, tell me something good. Didn't you think that was a good idea? Didn't you like that I did? No. They said, oh, they praise her. Because he said beauty and charm, they're deceptive. Beauty's fading, charm is deceptive. But a godly woman, a virtuous woman, boy, our influence, then it can affect everybody else. We get frustrated, so we try to affect everybody else. The reason I said this is we end up getting in everybody else's business. And we don't take care of our own. And so we become what the Bible calls busybodies. Women. I actually call these women busybodies that go around from house to house and just, you see? Now, it doesn't mean that we should never get to know someone's issues or get to know what someone's going through, because that's what families do. Now we're talking to family God. We should know. As I said a couple weeks ago, we should rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. How are we going to do either of that if we don't know what they got going on in their life? I have this habit of ripping it out of people. Grab it out. And whatever we need to do to to be that support to each other. But we can't do anything if we don't get ourselves in order. Or we might have a really good day. Have you ever had like, wow, I wish I could do this day again? Wouldn't it be great to know the formula? Like, what happened today that I'd love to copy? Here's the formula. Listen to your spirit. Renew your mind. And produce fruit in your body. Got that? Listen to the spirit, renew the mind, and produce fruit from the body. The body is so important. That's what Lord is showing me. I could give you all these wonderful things. But if you end up crippled or lame, how much of that are you going to get accomplished? If you have a heart attack or a stroke, yeah, I'll heal you, but my God, it just like held you up. So why not prevent all those things to begin with and do what I'm telling you to do? Keep your body in order. Same thing with the soul, the mind, the will, and emotion. If we think our happiness comes from somebody else's behavior towards us, then we are wrong. I mean, we're in trouble. But as women, how much does that affect our behavior? You know, how much? Just to speak. I had an issue with somebody. I haven't had that for a while. I was upset that I had an issue with somebody. Well, I just wanted to know how to deal with it. So I prayed about it the night before I went to bed next morning. Right and early, I forgot I prayed about it, you know. The Lord says, okay, I have an answer for you. And I said, oh yeah, what was the question? What was the answer? I said, okay. He reminded me, here is your answer. You have two options. I said, oh good, I have two options. Usually, you know, when God speaks to you, here's it. You could crucify their flesh, or you can crucify your flesh. Decide what you'd like. Oh, that was the answer. But it's true. It taught me a lot of other lessons. It gave me a formula for me. For me. This isn't like some scientific thing always that, but I think it's a good thing for us to think about. Do we crucify somebody else's flesh? You feel better. You watch it burn. Closure. Yeah, they're done now. Thank you. Or do you crucify your flesh? So let's put this in another setting so you can see a visual of this. And the team is given the task of coming up with a decision, making a decision, coming up with a plan that will kill somebody. And the team leader is Joe. Team leader is Joe. And the helper is Mary. And then there's another helper that's Martha. Yeah. Oh, Martha would be perfect. The only thing about this team is that Joe gets feedback. Joe's getting all the details. Joe has all the information about this case. And Joe is supposed to tell Mary, who in turn will tell Martha. And between all three of them, they are to collaborate to get this done. But Martha has to be the final one to actually go do it. Sit in a meeting. Joe gets all the information. And Joe's saying that it looks like this is what they need to happen. This is the end result they're hoping for. This person will actually live successfully. They don't have to die. Like, the evidence is showing, the scientific, I've got all the x-rays, everything. This person doesn't have to die, and we can make this happen. But we got to act fast. We got to act quickly. We have 2 hours. Okay? And so Joe's telling Mary, Martha's there too, but Mary's kind of the scientific interpreter. You know, she's interpreting all this data to give to Martha, who is a layperson. And the thing is, Martha is the therapist, the physical therapist that has to do the things to make this actually work. And this is like got to be precisely. So Mary and Joe are communicating, and Mary says, I'm sorry, but who made you boss? I thought this was a team. In a team, we're all supposed to give input. We're all supposed to work together. What's your problem? So they take 20 minutes of that 1 hour, 2 hours, I said, right? 20 minutes just to decide who's boss. So then Mary is supposed to tell Martha, you know, give her feedback. Martha's like, okay, can tell me what's going on. Well, you won't believe Joe. He thinks he's boss. Could you believe that he comes in here? He is brand new to the office. And he's telling me, what? Why didn't they just give me the information? I'm capable. I've been here longer. Do you see where I'm going with this? Okay. So finally, by the time Martha now feels sorry with Mary, because Mary's given a sob story. So the two of them have teamed up on Joe, who has all the gold mine of information, to get John to live. Because they're tied up for 1 hour and 59 minutes. Finally, Martha gets the information through to her. They finally decided, well, at least let's listen to what Joe has to say. 1 hour, 59 minutes. Martha has 1 minute to save whatever the guy's name's life, John's life. Tell me that the fault of that occurring was the information center. Was it? No. Was it Joe? Uh-uh. Where did the problem happen? Yeah. Where? What was the whole thing here? Rebellion. That was the bottom line. Okay? Nobody wanted to submit it to the proper authority. So let's break it down. Information center, God, the Holy Spirit. Joe, my spirit man, new kid on the block, brand new creation, never been any like it before. Cutting edge leader here we're talking about. Mary, mind, soul, will, emotion. I've been with this kid since birth, honey. You don't tell me how we run the show around here. This is what I've seen in my day. Yeah. Martha, the body, ready. Awake, had coffee, good, ready to go. But because Martha and Mary are having this conversation, apart from Joe's information, Martha, ready, I'm willing, Lord, I am willing. I'm just waiting on the Lord to see what to do. No, you're not. You're having a conversation with Mary. And you're talking bad about Joe. So you got 1 minute to save somebody's life, and they go to hell. That's what happens. They didn't just die. They go to hell. They died and went to hell because you had a problem with Joe. This isn't just about being proper and in order. This is about life and death. Okay? Everything God wants us to do on this earth has to do with other human beings, and we're playing with people's lives when we don't follow the instructions of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I want you to consider every single day. Lord, I know my normal routine is to go to work, is to do this, is to do that. It's to come home, cook dinner for the kids. Those are my normal priorities in life as a woman. That's what I do. But I want you to know that if you download something to my spirit and tell me to interrupt my day, I am ready to do it. That's how we live. That's living a life from a revelation and inspiration, not knowledge and formality. Like, it's living a life full of revelation. It's like you're going to wake up today, Fiona, I just want you to know all the things you got on your list. It's not going to get done when you think. Okay. This, yeah. Phone call, you got to go see this person. That, okay, that's the kind of life we got to live. There's so many sacrifices that we think we're making. It's just normal. It's not a sacrifice. It's normal. It's how we should live. I was thinking about Gabriel the other day. People talk about him all the, you know, about how, oh, he's such a good kid, and he's always at church, and he's always, you know, he's always with us. And that's true. He really is. But I said, you know, I grew up that exact same way. I don't miss not having, being able to do this and not do that. Look at me today. I don't consider myself a failure in God's sight for what he wants me to do. You understand what I'm saying? The great thing about it is I didn't have 50. I didn't. I went down the path that God wanted me to do because my parents really did raise me up and trained me in the way that I needed to go. Not what the other voice were telling parents their kids need to go. You understand? It's not about some what culture says our children should be doing and all this. Yes, basic education, absolutely. I had that. I had all of that. But I never even went to the pace of our culture, our society. I always did it based on, you know, my parents. As parents, you have to all this stuff I'm doing, all these things I can't do because I have a child, because I have a husband. Is that really what God is telling you to do? My son is not going to dance. Samuel certainly wasn't. He lived it.
He lived in the temple. He grew up there. He had to sweep and clean the temple. I wasn't damaged as a result. Your child's not going to be damaged because they don't do everything in society. Or they're not going to be damaged because they're not what society thinks. Your husband's not going to be, you know, not going to die if you couldn't cook him a meal because you had to go somewhere else that God sent you to do. Everybody's going to be fine. But when we put stuff up, when we have a hang up about things, it projects to the people around us. And they start developing a hang up about stuff. But in reality, they really had none. They were fine. So I'm going to close out our tape session with that thought, and then we're going to have some discussion.